afternoon, it's Kirsten O'Brien with you on BBC Radio Berkshire, and it's time to talk tech with Turkalp. Why is that not taken off as a thing, Fevzi? Why have we not had that? I could sing it, talk tech
tongue,
with Turkalp.
Right?
Could do a jingle.
Oh,
I mean, we have missed this, haven't we, all these years. Goodness me, how are
you? Your agent's details, I'll ask you to do the voice. I'm very well, thank you. How the devil are you?
Yes, it's nice to be here on a Saturday and just chatting on. I'm enjoying it. What have you got for me then? We're going to talk about some tech. What should we start with? Some news? Tech news?
Let's do the two gadgets first.
Oh, OK, let's go for it.
And then the news. Let's flip it on its head. Right. So last week I was sort of pondering about how to get the best from our technology, and I noted in my mind that we spend all the budget on the main gadget, but nothing on using it in the best possible way. And one of the things about tablets is that we kind of really need a decent stand, and to be flexible and versatile, we should spend a little bit of money on it. And last week we looked at something from a company called 12 South, which is called the Hoverbar Tower, and it was a floor standing tablet stand, so it was good for people doing exercise or playing guitar or anything where your hands are occupied and you still want or need access to a tablet. So, you know, Pilates, yoga, all of that sort of thing. But it was over £100. I think list price was about £130. It's fair value, but it's still not cheap. But I then noticed that there was something called the Hoverbar Duo, same company, 12 South. This is a stand, it's not a floor stand, but the Duo bit of it is very interesting. So first of all, the stand itself, it's very well articulated. Think of an arm, like a human arm that has a shoulder, an elbow and a wrist, and think of the hand holding the tablet. So you've got all those degrees of freedom to you know, the shoulder is the base, and then you've got an elbow about halfway up, so you can sort of tilt it forward, bring it forward towards you, adjust the height, adjust the orientation, make it landscape or portrait. And one of the things I love about this, I mean, you know, increasingly people contribute to TV shows and video podcasts using, you know, their laptops and tablets and so forth. And, you know, we get a very good view up their nose because, you know, the camera is just basically too low and they're tilting it up and it looks terrible. But with something like this, you can actually put the camera on eye level, whatever that is for you as an individual, and have it looking straight at you. And it immediately looks so much better and less amateurish, I would say. So it will do that. It's quite, as I say, it's very versatile in that you can actually bring it up to a height of 2 feet off the table or desktop, or down to the desk height itself. So if you're using a pen or a pencil to write on the screen, you can just bring it down to the level of the desktop, but just tilt it back a bit as you would, and you can write comfortably on that. This is a Generation 2 product, and the improvement is this. Like the Generation 1, it comes with two ways of mounting it. So you can have a tabletop stand, which is a very solid desktop stand, and it just sort of sits on the table. But there's also a clamp that comes with this, which you can clamp it to, let's say you're in a kitchen, you can clamp it to a shelf and then pull it down, you know, and have it not, let's say one is cooking and there's flour and you don't want to be touching the tablet and you don't want it, you know, getting messed up on the tabletop. You clamp it to a shelf or a similar surface, and then again you've got the full articulation. The difference with the second generation one is that it's got a simple sort of a quick switch tab that just allows you to quickly switch between the base and the clamp. So in your office you could use it if you wanted to with the tabletop stand, and then you could just unclip it, take it to another room like the kitchen, clamp it in there and continue whatever you're doing, maybe whether that's watching, you know, a film or following a recipe or playing music or whatever it is you're doing. You can again do it hands-free and again at adjustable heights. And it's very rare to see a good quality stand that actually has a clamp on it. So it's called the 12 South Hoverbar Duo, second generation. If you're not worried about the quick interchangeability, the first generation is still available and it's cheaper. But this one, this price is about £80. I saw the Gen 2 on sale on a well-known retail website for £57 this morning. And that puts it at about half the price of the tower stand that we looked at last week. So if you don't really need something floor standing, you can actually have that full functionality for half that money.
I really like the sound of that.
Four stars rating. It really, you know, it really is good. As I said, look, people go out and buy iPads and they'll spend anything from, you know, £400 to £2,000 for an iPad or other brand of tablet. You know, these are not cheap devices. And then we got them sort of propped up and pushed against a bookshelf and falling off and slipping and all of this sort of thing. And it's quite risky. And the other nice thing about this clamp is it's generous. The clamp is generous enough that it will hold the tablet even when it's in its own case. It's not like you have to remove it from the case and make it vulnerable to drops or knocks. Just really, really clever. And this new quick switch tab is quite remarkable. They've done a good job with that, because it was a bit fiddly with the generation one, because you had to use a tool to get it off one. And so with the first gen, you more or less had to choose how you're going to use it and leave it like that. But with this one, you really can just take it from room to room and slot it into the clamp or the tabletop stand as you see fit. So 4 stars out of 5 rating for that. 12 South Hover Bar Duo, second gen.
Top tip from me, if you are going to use it for video conferencing calls, rather than eye level, just go slightly above, more flattering to be looking down on your face, I would say. There you go. That's a telly tip for you for free.
Yeah, my problem is if I go too high, I have this sort of very reflective surface on the top of my head. I don't know why. Might be the lack of hair.
Don't go that high.
I can bring down airliners if I'm not careful. So,
just slightly above eye level.
Do you know, I'll tell you something. When I go to BBC Studios for television, they powder my head.
Right, yeah, you need to dull it down a bit. Got you.
It's kind of embarrassing. It's one thing having your face powdered, but then having your wax and polish on your head.
Yes. Oh, goodness. Right, stay there. I want to do another gadget with you next, please. I am chatting to Fevzi Turkart, who is the gadget detective. We've already done something for your tablets that might be of use. What have you got next, Fevzi?
Okay, so next one is a mouse, a desktop mouse for use with a computer or other device. It is the mouse that I use. Now, you can probably imagine that I have access to just about any mouse that's ever been made, but this is the one I use every day. It's called the Logitech MX Master 3S. It's been through various iterations. All of them have been rather good. This one is the latest and the best one. First of all, it's a very ergonomic mouse. The way it sits. I don't know if there is a left-handed version of this, by the way. I wasn't able to find one, but this one's certainly suitable for right-handed people, and it works. I don't know if you can see a picture of it, but there's a slope out from the main mouse where your thumb rests, and that thumb can use a secondary scrolling wheel and another set of buttons. So, you know, like with the main scrolling wheel on a mouse, you can go up and down. With
yes.
The secondary scrolling wheel, you can go left and right. So let's say, I know, you've got a spreadsheet or just a wide, maybe you've got a laptop with a small screen and a wide website that you're trying to see. You can actually scroll left and right with that. And the buttons underneath your thumb also will allow you to go forwards and backwards through, say, so let's say you're surfing the web and you want to go back a page, you don't have to go up to the top corner and click back. You can just do it very simply like that. The mouse is very high quality. It will track even on a sheet of glass. You don't need a mouse pad for this. It will work on the most reflective surface. It will discern 8,000 dots per inch, which means it's very, very precise. So if you wanted, if you're doing anything sort of artistic, creative, with that, it's very useful. The thing that I love is when I use it when I'm on the radio, this version, one of the improvements over the last one, is the clicks are almost silent. So when you click the buttons, you don't get some loud sort of clicking noise. So I use a keyboard where the keys are almost silent, and now a mouse that's similarly very quiet.
Well, as you've been talking, I've been trying to work out, because I'm left-handed, and I'm like, do I use a mouse? I've been swapping mine backwards and forwards. I think I use a mouse right-handed. I don't know whether that's just what we left-handers have grown used to doing, but I'm more comfortable right-handed. So yeah. I've been clicking away with mine.
I don't know, and I should have checked this. I apologise. I should have checked that beforehand. I know some of the Logitech mice are left-handed. I just don't know that this one is, because this mouse is not symmetrical, because it's designed to have. So it depends. I mean, I'm minded of Paul McCartney, who's also left-handed, as you probably know, and takes right-handed guitars and just turns them upside down and plays them.
Can I do that with the mouse?
I don't know. I wouldn't turn it upside down, but now this also links into the first gadget that we talked about, the stand where you can hold a tablet up at whatever height. Increasingly, with Apple Macs and also other computers, it's possible to use second screens. Either you can have like a, let's say, an Apple Mac computer and a second screen, and it will drive both, or your second screen can be your tablet. And obviously, the stand will get you to hold the tablet or the secondary screen up to the same height. So you've got now two screens at broadly the same height. This mouse has got a really good trick, and it doesn't require a Mac to do it with. This will work with Macs or PCs. It's got software that allows you to drag the mouse across. So, and let's say it's on your screen on the left, and you take your mouse over to the right-hand edge. Instead of stopping, the mouse pointer now appears on your tablet next to it.
And
it means you can actually drag and drop things from complete, like from a Windows PC to a Mac, or from a Windows PC to an iPad or an iPhone. You can actually drag and drop. And if you put a keyboard, a wireless keyboard, and one of these mice in conjunction with, let's say, an iPad, it becomes a completely different machine. It becomes much less of a consumption device for consuming media. And it becomes a real workhorse. And you can actually... I noticed when I've sort of been away and I've taken a laptop and a tablet with me, I haven't had always to use the laptop. The tablet's just done it all for me, because I've had a case, actually Logitech do these as well, but other manufacturers, they do these really nice cases with these full laptop style keyboards, backlit keyboards, and they're very high quality. And when you don't want them, you just pull them away. And when you want the keyboard, you snap it on with a magnet, and it works really well. So again, this combination of these technologies, stands, mice, cases, keyboards, completely change the use that we can get out of the devices. So my recommendation is maybe put aside, you know, maybe 10% of your budget for the device on these accessories. Think about how you're going to use it, and you'll just have a much better, more productive use of the device if you've thought about, where am I going to use it, how am I going to use it, what do I need? And then buy it from somewhere with, you know, a 30-day return policy, just in case it doesn't work for you. So if you were to buy this mouse, for example, and it doesn't work for you, send it back, you know. So make sure you can do that. So this mouse is, it's not cheap. It's £120 list price. I saw it for £95 this morning. It's available in black or pale grey. Also comes with some promotions as well. You can get money off other things with it. 4.5 stars out of 5. It's the best mouse that I've ever used. Do we have time for a tech story?
We do, but we're going to have to leave the fact that you never said Logibolt dongle behind on that.
I was just being kind to you. Okay, so...
No, you don't have to. It was just amusing me, a Logibolt dongle. I don't know what
right.
one is.
Okay, so what it is although this mouse will work with Bluetooth, which is sort of the standard wireless technology built into computers and tablets, sometimes the Bluetooth is not very good on devices. You know, sometimes it's quite ropey. And this little dongle is a USB dongle. It plugs into your computer or indeed another device. And it uses a different technology, but it means that the mouse is reliably wirelessly linked, much more responsive, not prone to dropouts. And that dongle can also then drive one of their wireless keyboards and other accessories as well. So they're very good. Thank you. Logibolt, as in their name is Logitech, and Bolt as in, I imagine it's like really fast. And dongle, you know, dongle is anything that hangs off the back of a device like a computer.
Yeah, good. Right, what's your news?
Oh, okay. Sorry, I just forgot. All right, well, this is kind of an interesting story. They did a survey of AI, artificial intelligence experts. I think this is experts on artificial intelligence rather than experts who are AIs, based in the UK and Japan. And they asked them, about what degree of domestic work could be done by AI and robotics in the next 5 and in the next 10 years' time. And what sort of led to them thinking about this was, you know, there's a lot of data out there that says, you know, up to 50% of jobs will be replaced by machines in the next few years. And then people were saying, well, are they at least going to do our housework for us? And so they've sort of looked into what they think they can do. And the predictions are they've broken it down into different parts of housework. So things like grocery shopping and other forms of shopping, they think about 45% of that can be done intelligently, you know, without human intervention within 5 years, and about 60% within 10 years. Household cleaning, 33% within 5 years, 46% within 10. So that's not just, you know, obviously we've got things like robot vacuum cleaners, but they're not perfect yet. I mean, they can't do stairs, for example, and they can't get up and down the stairs. Interesting, jobs like teaching a child, we're talking about time saving here, so we'd be able to save, they predict, about 27% of the time that we might spend teaching a child within 5 years and 40% within 10.
Wow, that's come too late for me, but the rest of it is just in time for my retirement.
The one that I'm looking forward to for my retirement is caring for an adult. So this is like robotic carers, right? So within 5 years, about 24% of the work of a carer, so this is someone who's looking after, you know, typically an older adult or an adult that needs care for other reasons. So they think within 5 years, that will be about 24%. And within 10 years, she's just in time for me, about 35%.
Yes, so good news to end it on.
Yeah, exactly. If you don't have kids or they're not likely to look after you, you know, these AIs may just do that. Before they take over the world and all the rest of it, they're going to mow the lawn, solve global warming and clean the oven.
Superb. Thank you very much, Fevzi. That is brilliant stuff from the Gadget Detective. There's got a podcast, and you can find him on Twitter as well, at the Gadget Detective.